Episode 19.
And she opened up to a level that, you know, it was really personal. She says, right now we are a two-income earner family. We have good jobs, and this isn't hurting us. But 2 years from now, this would have really crushed us.
Welcome, aftermarketers. Prepare to learn just one thing from today's episode and take action on your journey to remarkable results. A warm welcome to Greg Buckley of Buckley's Auto Care in Wilmington, Delaware. Hey, Greg, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I am ready to rock and roll this thing, Carm. Let's hit it, buddy.
Hi, and welcome, aftermarketers. Carm Capriotto here. Hey, we've got an interview this week with a very dynamic entrepreneur, Greg Buckley from Buckley's Auto Care in Wilmington, Delaware. The soundbite at the show open was taken from our discussion on telematics. There's been a lot of chatter with the podcast guests of late on telematics, so Greg and I took a little deeper dive into it, and I have plans to dedicate an on-point episode to aftermarket telematics in the very near future. I'm grateful for your listenership and subscription to the podcast newsletter. If you're not subscribed, I would be honored if you went to my site and hit the subscribe button. Better yet, if you like free things and like white papers, here's a two-for-one deal. Get my white paper called Ideas Matter, Why Ideation is So Important in Business Today. It's really one you should have anyway. It's about creating great lists and accountability to getting things done. Just text IDEASM to 33444 and you'll get it, and you'll subscribe to the newsletter at the same time. That's IDEASM, IDEASM to 33444. Two birds, one stone. By the way, I've gotten some great chatter on LinkedIn on a few of my blogs. The one on waiting in line for just a black cup of coffee had some great reaction. If you're looking for some good insights to business principles, hop on over to the blog page on remarkableresults.biz. I'm really interested in what you have to say. Please don't hesitate to reach out to me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. I'm just a real normal guy, and I'll always respond to you. So consider it your duty to communicate with me. I want to know who you want to be a guest, or what questions you want answers to, or any ideas you have on the podcast at all. The next best thing you can do to further the podcast is to take my survey. I'm looking for a demographic profile of you, our listener. There are just 10 very simple and easy questions that I want to know about you. On the website, remarkableresults.biz, click on the survey button on the sidebar. I think it's the sixth button down on the right side. You'll be doing me a huge favor if you do it. Now on to our guest. Wow. Greg Buckley's interview went against the traditional interview that we've done for the past 15 or so podcasts. We went off structure, and it was so much fun. It was a Saturday morning, real early, you know, no pressure on a Saturday cup of coffee, and we had a blast. So you're going to enjoy this. And it was really a refreshing approach as we grow the podcast in the future. Now, Greg has a bio that's as long as Rip Van Winkle's beard. Here are a few highlights. He's owner of the 49-year-young Buckley Auto Care with 5 bays, 3 techs, and 2 service writers. He's a member of ASA and an ATI coach, a member of the Delaware Automotive Service Professionals. He's on the NAPA Advisory Board Council, is vice president of NAPA Business Development Group. He's involved as an advisory board member of AutoNet TV and on the editorial board of Ratchet & Wrench. Now, that's just half of his bio. As I said, it was very informative. Lots of fun, great interview, and it was just free-flowing. And I'm confident you'll listen and learn just one thing you can do something with. Here we go. Okay, Greg, you say in something I read that we are more, much more than a head under the roof auto repair place. What do you mean?
Well, Carm, I think what we're talking about here is that as we get away from the engine, you know, the repair of the engine, where it's more service and maintenance, we have to learn to be better at taking care of the customer from the human side, which means that we open ourselves up to more opportunities. The way the industry is going, we look at mobility as a big factor in where I'm pushing Buckley's Auto Care at. You know, and the reason why is because systems need less repair. Our frequency is down to 1.4 turns per year per customer. So we better find different ways of working with customers and filling their needs in different areas.
What do you mean mobility, though? Explain to me mobility. Are you talking about the retrofitting of vehicles?
Well, you can look at from either not so much a mechanical situation, but you're looking at services developed to keep people from or to help people get from point A to point B. Mobility means that they could have multiple devices to get to fill their transportation needs, much like we have multiple devices to communicate with. So the person that has the Suburban may use the Suburban for a family trip, but then he's going to, let's say he uses a two-wheel to get to work, to commute with. So these multiple options that people will use to transport themselves will be part of our mix, or should be part of our mix. And we have to learn to get into the multimodal situations in order to work with these new types of customers, these new ways of getting around. So, deeper what we look at is urbanization. And I don't think a lot of shops understand what urbanization is going to do to them.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, a lot of times, and there's such, you know, Carm, you've been around a while, and you've been, in your background, what you've been privy to see is that every market has their different type of driver. You know, it's funny because some of your guests that were on, we've shared conversations between what goes on in their world versus what goes on in my world. So let's give you a couple of examples. So let's say the state of California is the number one mile per person state in the union. I think Texas is number two.
Okay.
So that means, let's say, if I went out for a gallon of milk, I may have to travel an average of 3 miles. Where here in Delaware, I can walk a block. In New York City, it's right downstairs in my apartment. So that eliminates my side from having to drive.
So are you saying that the business that you're in is going to have to adopt and adapt to the different driving conditions or cycles of the car owner?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. I mean, that's because that's if a shop owner, and again, this is where, and I say personally, where Buckley's Auto Care, where I want to take my shop, because I see what's coming at us is that if we have less frequency of a motorized four-wheel vehicle coming into the shop, yet people are still getting around. They're getting around for another somehow. So how do we get into that transportation situation? Well, the easiest thing to do is, okay, like myself, I have been to transportation boards and meetings here in the state of Delaware. And it's interesting because their job is to get people out of cars and to move them more efficiently. Not to stop them from moving, it's just do it better. Well, in order to do it better, they may create bike paths for the person who to commute to work because it's only 3 miles, you know, to downtown Wilmington, or, you know, maybe there's an Uber situation that we can look into. The key point is understanding where we are as a profession and what we do. And there's some simple, I think there's some simple rationale that you could look at. And the case I always look at is just take a 30,000 foot view of what you do. Jump out of yourself and look at what you do when you give a loaner car to a person.
Sure.
All right. Yes, you saved the job, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's the biggest thing why we do it.
Yeah.
But from a transportation point of view, you've now entered a multimodal situation. You've given them an alternative so that they can conclude their transportation needs from A to B. You've subsidized them in some degree, whether it's a rental car or a loaner car. You've kept that person going. So that's the key. So they'll do it in different ways. Like I said, they may have a bike, they may have a two-wheel. It was incredible that in January, I just finished speaking at an event in Silicon Valley, and I finish up and I come back and, you know, just review, like, you know, you go through things, and I caught an interview by Ford, by the chairman of Ford. And as you know, Ford just moved a big office to Silicon Valley. All right. Because they see the need. And what was his words? Don't be surprised if you see Ford making two-wheel electric bikes.
Right.
That's huge.
I just recently saw Bill Ford, right?
Executive chairman.
Talked about how much or how different Ford is going to operate And they are starting strategic reviews on what's transportation going to be like and what vehicles are we going to make and how are we going to stay in this thing. It may have been the 100th anniversary of Henry Ford and the Model T. I can't quite remember, but you're really on to exactly where we are. We're on the beginning of that think, if you will. And I have to tell you, I really appreciate you bringing this up. And, you know, we should do a future podcast on all of that.
Absolutely.
Now, you've done a lot of work with NAPA, from advisory board councils, business development groups, and you're currently with NAPA's virtual advisor. What are you contributing and what are you learning?
Well, first off, it was quite an honor to be selected here in our region to be on the council with NAPA. And I find, first off, I think we should tell our guests that, you know, we're not here to promote a specific flag to fly. I'm you know, to give the experience of what happened to me. I've been with NAPA for, I guess, maybe 12, 13 years now, since 2002. And the experience with them is similar to what I had with the folks at Shell Oil Company that I grew up with. Well, I grew up with Atlantic Richfield back when service station, there was a great a support team underneath of the individual owner. So my father experienced that. Of course, you know, growing up, I had the same benefits. So NAPA gave me that kind of feel. Their personnel, the quality of the individual, the care that they take in making sure that the end user, our clients, our motorists, really do get a satisfying experience. Now, that may be elsewhere in other flags that are out there. Other corporations, I'm sure it is, but in general, I was, NAPA to me gave me that feeling. So being to their board, being able to get on their board was quite an honor. You're selected by, you know, other peers and officers of Atlanta. So I felt good. What we're able to do on that board was actually direct, assist NAPA Genuine Parts in steering where NAPA wants to go. We bring programs. We actually review what's out there. We make suggestions and changes. And you sit around. You literally sit around in a round table situation for 2 straight days, 8 hours a day. I mean, it is work where you're reviewing constantly, end over end, these issues. And you're discussing distribution, product quality, marketing capability, outreach.
So it's a think tank?
It's a huge think tank for 2 days.
And does it include distribution and your side of the business?
Yes, it does. Yeah, it talks about what's best for the NAPA Retail Auto Care Center. What can we do to make it better? What are guys feeling? Give me feedback from the street. And that's what our role is to take what's going on in our territory, pluses and minuses, and bring them to the council so that they can be straightened out. And then we get to work. But what I find most valuable in that is that the relationships that you build with these incredible shop owners, I mean, there are some of the best in the country. And, you know, I look at it like I am just the most fortunate person to be just to talk and rub shoulders with some of these guys. And more importantly, they're all in your contacts now. There's not a time when I can't go push a button and I have someone high up in the organization to remedy a situation that I have here at the shop, or give a suggestion, those type of things. So that's the value.
That's always great to be able to have a phone number that says, hey, I got a problem. Can you help?
Can you help out?
Always Absolutely. Great. Hey, when you speak to groups regarding the use of internet, social media, and other technologies, what's the essence of your message?
Don't be afraid of it, number one. Learn to adapt and be with it, because digital media is not going away. And you need to embrace some element of it, whether it's through a specific social stream or getting your message out in a broader sense. And that means working with Google, or any search engine that you prefer with, because it's very important. I mean, everyone has an offline strategy, and it doesn't matter whether you're doing car care clinics live or you're sending out massive postcards or newsletters. But it's all coming down to the small screen, and you can start to see the numbers. When I'm out there, and I work with a specific coaching company, and we do training events or coaching events and instructing classes, every 6 or 7 weeks. One of the key topics is that we'd look at the analysis underneath of this to actually kind of solidify the argument of what's going on digitally. So we look at our analytics, and we can see it's amazing, Carm, that if you dig deep into your analytics, and shops probably don't see enough of this, you can see the profile of your clients.
Right.
And I don't mean from just, you know, male, female, age and stuff. I mean, right now you're seeing specifics. Are you techies? Are you a movie lover? Mm-hmm. Did you just buy a used car? These elements are coming at us in a much better presentation model, a better format. And we can now look at our client base in an at a glance and get that profile right now. And it's really interesting. And it's funny because I just it was actually a kind of a surprise. You know, it's not like every day I would look at my analytics. So before the class and prepping for everything, I went back and I looked, and I said, you're preparing, so you give the latest stuff that's out there. And what I found was all of these new metrics that Google has put into your analytics, so you can break down your client base, so you know really how effectively your marketing can be. You know, where Facebook, if you go ahead and want to run an ad, you can tailor it to, oh my goodness, you know, almost, look, you're a 55-year-old male that drives in this area. You can pick, right. Yeah. Well, I would say that Google, you can do it with Google too. It's just not as easy to see these things sometimes.
Do you use that data for your demand force marketing?
Well, I don't particularly use that company, but yeah, I have another service.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were using them.
No. That's, you know, I did before. Don't get me wrong. I did before. But yes, I use it to actually teach and of course I'll market to those demographics, those profiles. But you know what's important? And I shared this with the class, is that we don't show this enough. This valuable information doesn't get exposed to our service writers in the way that it should. Now, veterans like myself or like other shop owners that are out there, we may have the advantage of being able to rapidly profile an inbound customer. All right. My experience starting from 8 years old at a service station, I would go out to greet the customer, right? I mean, and anyone who has done that, this is full service, this is back in the 60s, mm-hmm. All right, and through the mid-70s until self-service came in. So our role was to be the host, the greeter, you know? So we would get to know our clients in a much more personal way. And that matured into understanding what they look like, where they have it. You can tell when someone's having a bad day when you walk out to them. They may not be that friendly person that came in 2 days ago, all right, to get their tank filled. Maybe something happened. Well, you know, for me, that started me, and I don't know if it's a talent, or I think it's just a learned process of understanding what custom body language, emotion. You know, we sell by
You're
emotion.
Learning the profile of the customer.
Absolutely.
By seeing, by touch, right. By you're there in their environment. You've got that intimacy, if you will, 5 feet program going on. And
right.
I guess what you're saying today is how do you market to the millennials, Generation X, to the boomers in a new way, because that reach out doesn't exist.
Well, that's key. You're absolutely right. That does not exist. So what makes it difficult is onboarding our new sales team and not being able to do that. So if we now have a digital way to have that profiling capability exposed to our sales team, can they absolutely understand what our customers look like before they come to the door? You know what I mean? I mean, we don't get a chance to meet and greet like we did before. We don't have those elements. We don't have the can you fill my tire up for air? Can you check my oil? Can you break away from what you're doing to help me? All right. Now what we have is pretty much kind of like an order taking system.
You know, what do you mean?
Well, you come in and
oh, here,
you
know, here I have a problem.
Here I am. You don't see me until I have a problem. We don't get that one to one, and more importantly, we really don't know what our customers are like anymore. There's something missing, but yet now I feel we have a trainable event that we can do, especially with the profiles being exposed. So when I showed this to the class, they were like, "Oh, wow, this is pretty cool." You know, I get to see what my customer base is like. This is what's coming in my door.
You're opening their eyes to all of this that is available to everyone, but they never connected the dots, I guess, what you're saying.
Absolutely. That's perfect.
Okay, so there's no doubt you're coming across as an absolute geek. You know, you're Bill Gates, but you're in automotive repair. What do you see as a major technology advancement that will impact the aftermarket in the next few years?
Well, I think telematics will affect us to a degree. And I know that you yourself, you're heavily involved with telematics. I mean,
I
think
I spent some time launching mm-hmm. telematics in the aftermarket with the Delphi program. In fact, I'm planning on having Malcolm Sismore on one of our On Point episodes to ask him, hey, where's it going with them?
Well, I think that's great, and I that would be excellent to hear, because I had a hesitation with telematics for quite some time, because I didn't think the adoption rate is what worries me. I mean, you know, I can be in class. This is what makes me think that how telematics will work. The adoption of telematics. Let's put it that way. When I'm in class and I'm instructing people how to use a simple mobile phone, what I see is, we understand the phone. We know what it can do. The problem is we don't know how to use the phone to its fullest potential.
Right.
And that stymies.
But it's a full-time job to learn that. I mean, I got to create revenue here. I got customers to wait on. When am I going to find? So maybe the shortcuts, going for training. Mm-hmm. Getting a coach or a mentor to help you with that technology today. I mean, I know that you're part of what makes you strong is that you've learned all this on your own. You've mm-hmm. toughed through it. But there's a lot of people that don't have that gift and the ability to learn and absorb. So are we expecting that the entrepreneurs of the aftermarket are going to need to just go out to these classes or hire someone to say, get me on board with the social, the digital, help me?
I think that if they do not want to, and I say this specifically, if they do not want to learn it on their own or to be part of it or to, you know, educate themselves, then yes. They're going to have to bring in some sort of expert in order for them to train their staff and keep them ongoing. It's another, situation that shops are going to have to get involved with in order to move forward in this digital space. You know, and jumping back to the telematics thing, just yesterday, I actually believe I found a meaningful way to use telematics and actually to sell telematics. Let's put it that way.
Ooh, I'd because love to hear about it.
Okay. Well, we had an individual come in, a customer, a middle-aged customer. I mean, they're our ages. So here they are, and they come in with this European vehicle, completely damaged by lack of service. Okay. So, I mean, really, I did a video clip on it. I mean, it's right there on my Facebook page. And what we learned was, this is after the event. This is no kidding. After everything got settled down, the bill was paid, and you know, we have some situations that are lingering with this vehicle, and the wife comes in. And we could tell that the car was abused, not so much intentionally, right? It wasn't beat up. It just had lack
ignored.
Of maintenance.
It was ignored,
right? So she comes up to us and she goes, "Greg, I'm worried about my husband. He can't seem to remember things. And I don't know if this is," she's telling me this very personally, you know, "is this, is, you know, I'm afraid for his mental capabilities. And I don't know if he's starting to go into forgetfulness or an early stage of Alzheimer's. And she's really relieving herself of this because she's so worried about the damage she did for her car. She opened up to a level that, you know, it was really personal. She says, right now we are a two-income earner family. We have good jobs, and this isn't hurting us. But 2 years from now, this would have really crushed us. And what can I do to get him to come here? And you know, I've got telematics, I got the Delphi system, mm-hmm. but I've never been able to promote it because I never figured out. It's just a matter of putting it together because there's fees, there's a lot of little parts you got to put together in order to sell it, you know, and how do you package it? And we're debating that as we go along. Mm-hmm. But I asked her, I said, how about if I help you manage your vehicle? I said, I've got a program here. I said, why don't you try it with me? I said, we can actually call you in for service or at least alert you and let you know. And that way it eliminates you having to worry about your husband and bringing the car in. We can track it for you. We can know what you're doing and give you updates.
I see where you're going. Mm-hmm. And telematics has always, in my mind, been something that for you, for any shop owner, it's not the kind of sale. People, you've got to reach out. You've got to find that connection, that need with the customer.
Right.
And for the typical owner, and I don't mean to segment anyone out, mm-mm. they don't necessarily, it's not the kind of sale that they're used to. And there's a lot of training. You may have just broken your own personal code by having this, you know, you had a lightning bolt happen. This perfect person came in, showed you. Now, the story you're going to tell for future telematics customers to be linked to your shop is so much easier because you've experienced that need for the customer. And even the GPS on the children, and again, I think it's perfect for the parent of us. We've got parents that we are concerned, even from out of town, is their car safe? What's going on? It's not as much as where they are, but is the car reliable? She's asking you for a reliability factor. And you had a solution for her.
Right. And that's where I actually, that was an aha situation with how telematics, where we can market it to. And, you know, Carm, the thing that can hold somebody back is that nanny situation, mm-hmm. the nanny effect. Yeah. Am I yeah. really overbearing? And what kind of course, you got privacy issues to come through. And, you know, this is another discussion that I have in class. I said, we have to understand that the difference between the privacy and the profit. And, you know, from a privacy standpoint, our hair might get raised on the back of our neck when we talk about, you know, how much privacy we're giving away and, you know, stuff like that. But on the other hand, from the business side, we really do need to respect the business and understand the profit that is within these new systems. It is a fine line. And, you know, we have to make it palatable for the consumer to understand that, look, we're here to assist you. Just like as an example, you know, where, you know, a wife is concerned with the mental stability of her husband. How can you help me eliminate this problem? Now, let's talk about you could circle back of is that event that we're doing, is that mechanical or is it a service? Are we managing?
Sure.
And I think we're more into now, that example tells me that we're into managing that vehicle. Yes, we'll get repairs, but let's break that out. Let's say, okay, that's another service. We manage that vehicle. So again, we're opening ourselves up. Open yourself up to more opportunities. Put yourself in a bigger pool and there's a long, long life ahead of you. And, you know, for me, much like other shop owners that could be listening here, you know, I'm not the only 49-year-old business that's out there. And if you're a family, and if you're a family-run business, you know, every day, and you'll probably ask me, what keeps you up at night? You know, so I'm going to jump ahead of you here. So what keeps – so what? Seriously, all right. what keeps me up at night is how do I get to the 50th year? How do I get to 51, 52, 53?
But that's good things to think about because
it's great things.
That keeps you moving and going. And
right.
As I say, you're a bold italic kind of guy. You're just always on the move. let me do some apologies to the listener. You've normally always heard this particular format podcast, and we completely broke the mold on this. I'm in love with what we discussed. This is great. There is no doubt I'm going to have you back on, and we're going to continue this wonderful conversation because we've gone into subject areas that it really interested me, by the way. That's why we started the interview the way we did, because we've all my guests we talked to before, and I so enjoyed our discussion. So as I see the time ticking by, I wanted to ask you about your speaking and your coaching and your involvement sure. with ATI, and I wanted to ask you a million other things, but I just love where this thing went, and I think what it did is it opened up a plethora of where we could go with this in the future. So I'm not done with the interview yet, but I want to ask you right now, because you know, podcasts are evergreen. They're always out there for the world to see forever. And here, will you come back on again?
Absolutely.
Oh, fabulous.
You know, that first $20 you gave me, we might have to renegotiate, but
everyone knows, yeah, it's $20 to appear on the show.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, you pay me or I can't remember.
Let's think about this.
Okay.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you free oil change next time you're in town.
No. Great. So as we wind this down for the last couple of questions, because of this whole, you know, I like to do a 30-minute podcast because it just works with commute and the time people give every week to the podcast. What's the boldest decision you ever made since being in business?
Wow. You know, that's a great question. And I'm going to, this might be a little bit long. I don't know how you want to take this,
Go ahead. Give me a couple minutes.
Okay. The big aha situation was, it was a few years back, actually. I mean, for me to get into the business, I can't help but to say that I love every minute of meeting people. And I've been that way for quite a long time, and I still am. I love the counter. I love meeting people. I like technology. I just like all that, and I've grown up with it. But some of the biggest things that changed the direction for Buckley's Auto Care and myself was a few years back, I went to an ASA event. It was in Vegas. I can't say what year it was, but it was just within 4 years maybe. And I listened to a gentleman that I probably think you should have on your show, Donnie Cipher.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely must. Yes.
Okay. Donnie was doing a presentation. I know that he doesn't know what he was talking to me, but what I was hearing and listening was basically get back to doing what you do best, because I was really struggling there for, 10 years, because we were breaking away from the service station element, and that was killing me. I really was kind of lost in what kind of direction to take for the shop.
Wait a minute, you say you were getting out of gas, is that what you mean?
Well, no, the gas was there, but it was self-service. It was more numbers.
All right.
The oil companies were divesting themselves of downstream retail situations, which is what we were part of. So then you bring in these other elements of wholesalers that were owning the fuel distribution points, and that is a whole different game. You know, they were numbers only. They weren't there for the value. They were there for the pennies.
Okay.
So your business model changed. And then at the same time, our profession was telling everybody, hey, look, you need efficiencies. You need proficiency. Don't worry, you know, let's not worry about the customer that needs air in the tire. Don't worry about going out and checking somebody's oil. You know, that's a waste of time. That's not service focused. You're you know. So I struggled with the fact of being a technician versus being a business person. And I believe I made an error of not continuing with my habits of personal service. You know, yes, that person that comes in for air in a tire might be an irritant, but you know what? I might sell a set of tires, or I might make a customer for the future. Those type of things I lost, and I was lost. And I went back and I listened to Donnie, and he's going, you know what? Just go back to doing what you want to do best. And it was fixing cars. And he had a very simple message, yet it wasn't to what I guess he was talking about his audience. Ever since then, I said, you know what? Everybody can zig. I'm going to zag. And I'm going back to what my roots were. And since that point, and especially since 20, 12, I think, you know, we have made a determined effort to bring those elements back to Buckley's Auto Care. Somehow, some way, we're not complete yet, of course, but now I'm on the strongest path possible to get back to that.
Do you mean you were just too structured? You were worried too much about what numbers, productivity, car count? Is that what you
yes.
mean? And you weren't balanced
yes.
enough.
I completely went all over to the other side
Got
of
it.
Pretty much a technician's or a very technical type business focus. Let's put it that way. And don't get me wrong, all of that's very important. But when you go to one side of the ship too often, you forget about what got you there. And I completely allowed myself to jump to the technical side, the number side, and eliminate my ability to attract customers. Now, you know, those that have gas pumps, and you've had Doug Whitman.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Great Shell station.
Yep.
Perfect. You know, and he's very fortunate. Well, I miss my pumps. I miss it. I don't miss the aggravation with dealing with fuel and pennies and cash flow. That's a huge, huge problem.
Right.
But I really miss the interaction of the people. That is precious. And, you know, I'm determined to do whatever I can to get that back. You know, some people have found it. I just haven't really got back to that yet. So that's my path. And I got to.
Yeah,
and
I'm working it from a different angle.
You're
taking the social, the digital, the all that stuff, and you're looking to drive that intimacy, but from a completely different angle.
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
Give us some great Greg Buckley words to live by.
Business is the act of human service by Milton Hershey. That's on my wall every day. I look at it. I preach it. I showcase it in every class I do. The story of Milton Hershey is quite simply amazing. I suggest that everybody should really look into what that man did. He grew up an orphan, and his inspiration and his whole thing is all about building the town of Hershey to help orphans, other orphans, children. And so every time you buy, purchase, eat a Hershey product, pennies or a percentage goes to the town of Hershey and that organization, fantastic hospitals. It's a whole situation, a whole ecosystem built around an inspiration and a determination for orphans. That's one man's thing. So he came up, all his trials and errors, it came down to business is an act of human service, and that's what we do. We're in business to serve. If we are not looking to serve, then we have no right to be in business.
Thanks a mil, Greg. I have to tell you, you're going to come back on again. There's a bunch of stuff we didn't cover, but I also think you've got a lot of other great things to tell the audience. Thanks again.
Thank you, Carm. I appreciate it.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.